right. Hello, Idiots on Parade, the Too Ugly for TV podcast. We mock the news so you don't have to. Hello, Jake.
How's it going?
All is well here. That is Jake Vevra, stand-up comedian in New York City. I am Nathan Timmel, stand-up comedian in Iowa City. And just a heads up, I have three very rambunctious boys outside my door yelling, screaming, making merry, having fun, fighting. So I might mute myself every so often if you're talking, but I don't know. They're just having fun being kids.
It's funny. I've got three rambunctious boys chained up in the other room. I'm holding them for top tier politicians who I will not name at this time. And if they make noise, I might have to take a break because I can't have them doing it.
I cannot wait. 10 years from now, when I was here on the ground floor, when Jake's apartment is as widely said as Epstein's Island. I cannot wait.
Like Epstein's Island on land.
Yes. Just with the boys for politicians.
Yes. And I guess I just thought about it. Islands are technically on land. So I don't know that much about geography.
Politicians or clergy members?
Hey, a little bit of both. Who's to say?
But the clergy has their own.
One guy comes in a wide brim hat and calls himself Chuck.
Nah. All right, let's jump into the news. I'm going to start with something. It was a story I sent you for the last one, and we never got around to it. And then it just kind of disappeared. It was big headlines for one day. The headline was, could be devastating. Indicted ex-GOP chair explicitly throws Trump under the bus in new filing. And Dan Schaefer, former chairman of Georgia's Republican Party and one of the 19 people charged in the 2020 election interference, has said he was acting under orders from Trump. Now, if you like Trump, you're going to say he's lying because that's what they do. When Cohen went down, they said Cohen's lying. And anytime someone from Trump's inner circle goes down, suddenly he's like, oh, he's the worst. He's a liar. But if they
were part of the deep state the whole time.
Right. If they can get several of these people, I mean, there are 19 indicted. If they can get a few to flip, that could be interesting. All you still need is one Trumper on the jury and he's innocent. But I just thought it was interesting that everybody said this is the tactic they're going to take and they're doing it. They're trying to find people to flip and say, yes, I was acting at the direction of Trump. Please let me and my family go. It was all the big orange haired guy.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I don't know how you go picking a jury for this, though, because it's the most polarizing time, certainly in my lifetime. For you know, Democrats and Republicans, I mean, even like a third party person, well, you kind of know where they go on this. It's like, oh, I'm a libertarian. It's like, well, you kind of got to like Trump. Oh, I'm Green Party. It's like, well, then you hate Trump more than a Democrat probably. But I don't know. You would have to find somebody. You have to find 12 people that have been in comas for the last like 8 years. The last, like, damn near a decade. That's the only people who are going to be impartial. No, screw that. You have to take people from just another country. You know what? Just another country on the planet that is not attached to ours at all. You get interpreters for the entire court. The whole thing is going to be in Swahili. Everybody there is from Zimbabwe. There's going to be an interpreter in the courtroom the entire time. They don't have a dog in this fight. That's the only way to make this an impartial trial.
Or, and I really hate what I'm about to say because it could get us in trouble, you find guys like us that just don't give a fuck either way. Where we just...
Yeah, but even then, you can listen to this podcast. We were just trashing Trump at the beginning of this podcast. What are you talking about? Like, we didn't know.
Not in a hateful, like, he's the devil, he's the worst, but, you know, just like, we're making fun of him, but I'd be open to hearing what his side has
to say.
Fuck that,
if I was defense lawyer and I listened to 30 seconds of the beginning of this podcast, and you're going, hey, you know, the Republican chair guy, he could flip on him, and I think he's going to go down. Like, I'm not, no.
Your impression of me is uncanny. When we play it back, that's exactly how I sounded.
That's right. And that's how you look to a defense lawyer to Trump right now. Is just like, no, I hate this guy. I hate this guy.
Well, either way, yeah.
And that's how I sound to him, too.
I agree with you. It's going to be impossible to find an impartial jury because you're going to find someone that's going to lie. You're going to find a diehard Trumper that's going to say, I don't know. Maybe Trump is guilty, and you're going to find a fucking screaming AOC liberal who's going to go, I could be open-minded, and then they're just going to go in with an agenda, and it's going to be a hung jury. It's going to be foobarred.
There's not a single person in this country who does not have this man either acquitted or convicted in their head before day one of that trial, and nothing could change their mind. Nothing. Ooh. Like, what?
Kids, I got three of them screaming out right now. You find three 10-year-old boys and, you know, eight 10-year-old girls and one trans to round it all out, and they don't know anything about anything. And you just, like, they say that the jury is usually made up of the 12 dumbest people who couldn't get out of jury duty. Yeah. Like, maybe me, I don't even know if my math was accurate. I said three boys, 10 girls, sure, and one to round it out. Well, that's 11, so I already fucked up there. So I'm stupid enough to be on a jury, but they say if you can't get out of jury, and they make it so simple for them. So just find 12 kids and have them like, hey boys, hi girls, how are you? Do you think Mr. Trump is a bad man, or do you think he's likable? Like, yeah, I don't know. But let's put kids on this one and see what happens. Why not?
I think we should do it and televise it just because I like the idea of having to see the prosecution and the defense have to, fucking kindergarten story time their legal arguments. You know, can you spell acquittal? Like, it's it's going to be a whole thing.
I mean, that's the whole. If the glove don't fit, it must acquit. You come up with something catchy that even a kid can understand. Right. Whoever comes up with the best nursery rhyme wins the case.
When mommies and daddies love each other, they do a dance that sometimes gives you a little brother and sisters. Other times, soon-to-be presidents do that same dance with a porn star and pay her money not to tell anyone. That's what this portion of the trial is about, boys and girls. They did the mommy and daddy dance, even though she's a professional mommy and daddy dancer, and then he paid her a lot of lunch money's worth to never tell anybody.
Lunch money's. Exactly. All right, we're solving problems.
Dude, yeah. Kids, gotta be it.
All right, this story is, again, a little old, but we didn't get to it last time. I just thought the headline, this is obviously a very stupid, probably hacky joke. First thing that comes to mind, nothing creative about it, but seriously, nothing creative about the story. Where did Lahana's homeless population go after the fire? I mean, the first thought that popped in my head is, wherever the fuck they wanted. Like, literally, you talk about the people that were least affected by this fire, it was the homeless population. I was hanging out in front of a Goodwill in Lahana, and so now I walk down to the next town, and I hang out in front of a Salvation Army in the next town. This story I thought was hilarious in that, you know, people lost their houses, they lost their businesses, they lost their lives, they lost their memories. The homeless guy had his entire belongings in a rucksack and just walked away from it all. This story is amusing.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's a little bit tougher, I think, on an island like that if you're homeless to get around, just because there's not a ton of like public transportation and things like that. So I don't know the logistics of like the fire spreading quickly. Where can you walk to? I'm sure there were homeless people that died. What's up?
During the moment, sure, they probably jumped into the ocean too.
And it was
scary and horrible. I'm just saying, where did they go? Well, wherever they wanted to.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's gonna be hard to kind of get a head count on something like that because some of them probably just went other places. Some of them, I'm sure, did die. I mean, it's still very sad, but
that's sad. It said right here at the bottom of the article, says they're looking for DNA samples. I mean, it's fucking horrible. People die. I'm not making fun of that. I'm just making fun of the overall headline. Not making fun of the tragedy. I just
don't know how they're going to go about getting an exit because I mean they're pretty underdocumented, the homeless population. Yeah. So it's not like, you know,
it depends. In a small place like that, it's kind of like here in Iowa City. You go down on the ped mall, there's two of them. If you want to, you can go, okay, that's Bob and that's John. Like, literally, it's not like Los Angeles or New York where, you know, too many to keep track of. I'm sure it was...
Right, and it's an island, too.
Yeah.
And it can't be easy to get off without the funds. It can't be easy. I mean, for one thing, hookers are expensive, huh? But, no, I mean...
You're not swimming to the next island. You're there.
Right. Yeah, you're pretty much there, and so... I mean, yeah, maybe you can. I don't know. Maybe at that soup kitchen or whatever they're talking about, there is somebody keeping track. But I don't know. It's just a hard thing to count.
It is, and it seems, and again, now this will make me a horrible person, and I'll fully admit that. It seems interesting that that's where some of the focus is. I suppose there should be some focus, but, like, I think there's a lot going on there. And, you know, maybe focus on more rebuilding, restructuring, making sure that people that lost their properties don't. Because one of the things they're talking about is people that lost their properties getting fucked out by the wealthy. Like, they had an established house and now they have nothing. So a development company comes in and goes, all right, we'll buy your land for cheaper than it was worth because it's all burned out. And now we're going to build a resort or another Oprah mansion or shit like that. Uh-huh. I love the fact. Did you see Oprah and The Rock get in trouble?
I didn't know The Rock got in trouble.
He was part of it. It was beautiful. Anybody didn't see Oprah and The Rock, they starred in the same video, said, hey, we love Hawaii, please send money. And everybody said, you two are fucking billionaires. Why are you asking us for money?
Well, I'm sure they probably did send their own money, too.
I'm sure they did. It wasn't ever reported, though. They didn't say in the video, I have donated $1 million. We need more, you know, like anything like that.
I mean, maybe I'm just too optimistic and think too highly of people, but I'm like, it seems like you're such a public figure. Assuming if you're doing something like that, especially a place where you own property or whatever, I think The Rock's even like from there, isn't he? Maybe not that exact island, but I think he's Hawaiian.
No, Maui, not Maui, Polynesian roots.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe.
All right, but either way, he's a Pacific Islander, you know? Like, yeah. I would imagine he gave some of his own money, especially if he's going out and making the videos. That would be crazy if they didn't.
I think that's what people were assuming, and that's why it was funny, is like, they just like, how about we pitch in our $10 after you show that you pitched in $1 million?
Right. You know? But that was my thing, is did they not pitch in any? I mean,
and no report I have read yet, and I could be reading the wrong ones. I've only read 3 or 4, but every single one I read talked about how they made a video and everybody reacted, and not a single report said it was reported that they each donated $1 million or $500,000. Like, I did not see any report that talked about what they did actually donate.
I'm sure it's easy to find. Let's see. Oprah and Dwayne Johnson put $10 million towards new Maui fund.
Now, is that after? Because I did see after they got called out, they did start a new fund.
Publicly announced on Thursday. This was 2 days ago.
Yeah, so after they got called.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So you got to do the publicly donating thing before you tell other people.
You got to say, hey, we started a fund. We opened it with $10 million of our own money. We'd love to have you contribute. That video would not have gotten made fun of. If you open with, we've dropped $5 million each, boom, there you go. When you open with, hey, you should send your money, that's when you get in trouble.
Yeah. I would love it if they were both like, donate money. I donated a free commercial. Do you know how much it costs to get The Rock and Oprah to do a fucking commercial for anything? These people should be throwing on flower necklaces and sucking our dicks right now. I would love it if they went that route.
That would have been hilarious. Have you seen the rider for his contract? He just tossed it out and said, no, I'll do it. But, you know, this you owe me. You owe me for this one.
Yeah, it's he sends the people of Hawaii a bill for the commercial and for his plane ticket out there.
Yeah, no,
that's the move. That's the power move. That's The Rock that I know and love.
I did that once.
That's the one that didn't take any guff in the Fast and Furious movies, all 27 of them.
Not even from Vin Diesel behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I actually did that once, and I felt bad after it was over. I was living in Los Angeles. A guy loved me, loved my comedy, said, how much would you charge to come to a show for my birthday? And I'm like, God. I said, you know what? You buy me a plane ticket out there and get me a hotel, I'll do it for free. I will come perform for your show for free. I just don't want to go into the red. And so he bought me a plane ticket, got me a hotel, and it just bombed. No one turned out. No, and it was just, I expect that I'll try and make a couple bucks on merch. I didn't make anything. And I mean, he was out several $100s because he had to get me a hotel. But that was all I could do. I mean, I couldn't say, pay me $1,000. Then he would have been out a lot more. But I still felt bad because nobody turned out for his he rented a bar.
I had to say, a guy do the same thing for me. And it was like, in New York City. So I didn't have to travel that far. But when I got there, it was just him in a baby diaper and a birthday hat and a bottle of hand lotion. I'm like, whoa, dude, what is
You see that sketch on Saturday Night Live?
No.
A clown, birthday clown, shows up to the door and he opens the door. He's like, oh, hey. And he's like, hey, birthday clown. He's like, oh, yeah, come on in. And then Louis sits down on the couch and he's like, where's the birthday boy? He's like, that's me. You know, I do something different for my birthday every year. And nice. So he's like, go ahead, do your show. And so the clown starts doing his show like, hey, hi, boy. It's a pretty good sketch. Google it.
Louis I will.
CK birthday
I will.
Saturday Night Live.
My thing was like that, but the guy wasn't wearing pants.
He was wearing a diaper, so it's worse. Uh-huh. All right. This, I thought, was an interesting story. Didn't get any traction. Biden advisors bristle at Gavin Newsom's plan to debate Ron DeSantis. So apparently, we all saw Newsom go on Sean Hannity and fucking pretty much own Hannity. You know, just anytime Hannity brought up the homeless or anything, California people, Exodus, he fucking hammered right back. It was a great moment. And so for some reason, they want Newsom to debate, probably because Newsom's been picking on Florida. Florida and California have a sort of rivalry. But for reasons I do not understand, they say Biden's the nominee. This is going to take attention away from him. Who gives a fuck? Who gives a fuck? Yeah. I don't understand this. If those two want to go at it, let them. This is the problem with the Biden campaign. You should be doing everything you can not to showcase Biden because he's not in top form lately. I don't hate him. I don't love him, but he is stuttering and forgetful. Not as bad as Mitch McConnell lately. But if you can get a young, energetic Newsom out there hammering Republicans, fucking do it.
I think so, too. I think it only hurts DeSantis. I don't think that Newsom has a ton to gain from, because I don't know why the Biden campaign's so worried about it. Yeah, I know Joe's a little old and, you know, it seems like he's getting a little senile, but he's also the incumbent who may very well be going against a guy who he defeated once already in the last election. And even if he's not running against that guy, he's running against a party that's kind of being ripped apart by that guy right now. So I don't think the next election is going to be that hard for him. I mean, the fact that he is getting kind of old, it's not helpful. But the fact is, no matter how they try to spin it, this has not been the catastrophe that the right expected out of the Biden administration policy-wise. It just hasn't, you know? Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying, let's jump to that. So they're saying it's disrespectful. Joe Biden is running with Congress. Maybe he's setting himself up for 2028. I don't know. But let's talk about policy because, you know, unemployment is low. The economy keeps growing, even though interest rates are high. But inflation is down after COVID. And
yeah, unemployment's at like a 30-year lower, but something crazy.
And we've talked about this before. The thing I'm going to bring up. Republicans seem to hammer home what's big in the moment. Like they start screaming something and they spread the message, this is what we scream about. And one thing you and I have talked about that they have not been screaming about for 6-8 months is the border, immigration, except for this tweet that popped up in my feed by Greg Abbott, Texas governor. Texas will not stand idly by while Biden's open border policies wreak havoc on our nation. And so I'm like, that doesn't sound right. I'm going to Google because we have talked about this before and I came up with the numbers. Immigration is down. That's a reduction of 61% from, what does it say, May 2022 to May to 12. You just keep going down the line. 2023, you see these numbers and they're just plummeting. They used to be 10,000 a day. They're at 3,000. And you keep going lower in the article. And the asylum appointment waiting day per day average is fucking shooting through the roof because of, again, you and I have talked about, they have that app in place where it's like, you must wait in Mexico and apply for an asylum with the app and it's not working. So yeah, border policy is working great. And that's why Biden's getting sued by immigrant advocates because he's doing what Obama did. It's funny that Republicans are always screaming about the border. Obama deported the shit out of Hispanic people.
Yeah, neither him or Joe Biden are that far left on border stuff, man.
Biden's locked it the fuck down. And so
they just like to scream. It's just one of those sort of topics they can get people riled up on. And it's ridiculous.
And the numbers don't back it up. Yeah.
No.
I don't remember.
Dude, apps are kind of shitty. Did I? So I just flew back from Chicago. I was in Chicago and Iowa for a little bit. We got to see each other in person, which
we did. I fucked up big time last night. I'll tell you this. Jake and I went to, and we don't get endorsement money. Nobody loves us. Nobody wants us. Jake and I went to a fantastic restaurant in Iowa City called Jimmy Jack's. I had a portobello mushroom sandwich. I loved it so much. My family wanted to go out to eat last night. We went to a restaurant in Cedar Rapids after my wife and daughter saw the Barbie movie. Then I brought my son up and we met them. And there was a portobello mushroom sandwich on the menu. And I said, ooh, I just had one of those. I loved it. I'm going to order this one. Do not order a sandwich from a different place. If you just had one, if you had the portobello mushroom sandwich at Jimmy Jack's where they make it fucking awesome, don't just say, oh, it's another portobello. It was not good because I had just had the best one and I followed it up with something that did not compare. I fucked up. I just should go back to the one restaurant that does it right. Now I've taken us down a tangent.
I'll keep us down the tangent. There's a brand new.
You were in Chicago. You were in the airport coming back from Iowa.
But before I do that, there is a brand new restaurant in the Lindale Mall in Cedar Rapids called Old Brick House. It had only been open one day. It's an Irish restaurant. So goddamn good. I had a sandwich called the Dick Titus Commercial. That is the name of the sandwich. It is a shaved ribeye sandwich with Swiss cheese over mashed potato. It was fucking awesome. It was great. Right. But anyway,
visiting restaurants in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, come to us. We'll tell you where to go. Notice I did not throw the name of the restaurant I did not like under the bus. I'm not here to do that.
Well, there you go. I would have done it. Fuck them. You don't serve me a bad mushroom sandwich. Right. Anyway,
you're visiting. So, you're traveling. What are you noticing during your travels?
I'm flying back on United. And I last time we flew, granted, this was for a longer flight. This was coming back from Cancun. So it was a bigger, but I don't see what this necessarily has to do with it. But I know there is differences. Like you get the TV screen on the chair with some of the longer ones.
Okay.
So we bought booze on the way back from Cancun and it would make sense that we would, and we did on the way back from Cancun, just hand a debit card or a credit card, and they just swipe it right there. Here's your boobs, you know? United wanted us to download an app off of their thing, which the Wi-Fi is already kind of wonky because you're on a plane. You know?
It sucks.
And so they want us to download an app and go to the website and upload our credit card to the thing to order a thing from the lady right next to us. And we just didn't do it because we were like, no, like we're good. It's just we just waited a few hours.
You could go those 2 hours without alcohol. I commend you for that.
Yeah, it's a fucking record for me. I don't remember the last time I did that. It's painful. I started DTing.
I knew a guy, sidetrack. I knew a guy, Kurt, he lived in Japan. I met him on military tours. And he, hand to God, he talked about this. He was a guy that would just smoke, lighting a cigarette off the end of another cigarette. When he would fly somewhere, he would build in stops so he could get off the plane and, you know, smoke. And he said once he booked a flight and they're like, you know, there's a direct flight where you're going. He's like, yeah, I know. I want to stop 2 hours in. They're like, you don't want the direct flight? He would build in stops so he could walk around the airport, find the smoking room and smoke, and then get on another airplane and fly to his destination.
What I mean, dude. I get it. I smoked for over a decade. Like it fucking sucks going without one. That's it. I mean, you know, just drink a bunch of NyQuil and go to sleep. Fuck it. Yeah. Like if it's gonna be that bad for you, because I've definitely done that on planes.
Put a bunch of Krusty the Clown nicotine patches on you.
I was gonna say, get some Nicorette gum. Butt. It definitely, it's not the same. Like it doesn't like, wow. You don't feel like you just smoked a cigarette, but like, it does curb the cravings a bit. Yeah, it helps. It'll at least get you through a flight, you know?
Were you going to relate the credit card story to immigration, or did we just go off on a tangent?
I don't remember how we got to the credit card story.
You just said you were traveling, then I started talking portobello mushroom sandwiches. We were talking immigration numbers and them screaming about it. You said, well, I've been traveling. I was in Iowa and then Chicago, then I went portobello mushroom. Now you're talking credit card.
I don't remember how we got on it.
We derailed is all.
I will say to any, I just listen, Ron DeSantis, if you're listening and you want to fly people around the country for some kind of publicity stunt, you want to send immigrants to Martha's Vineyard or whatever, pick a flight where they can pay with the credit card. It's bad enough trying to explain to me in English, the only language I've ever known, that I have to fucking go to a website and download an app and upload a credit card just to buy a goddamn tequila soda. Now she's going to have to do this pantomime to somebody who doesn't even speak her language. Like, this is too, don't do that to these poor immigrants. You know, it's bad enough that they come here looking for work and probably having to work less than minimum wage. They should be able to just order a tequila soda on a plane with a credit card without downloading an app. So send them Delta is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
this is a long commercial for Delta.
Well, speaking of alcohol, let's go there. This one shocked me. I'm not sure I buy this one. I think there needs to be more research. I think there needs to be some focus groups. I think there need to be quality control groups, you know, dummy groups. New study suggests that, quote, liquid courage is real, but, quote, beer goggles might not be. They say that if you drink booze, that, yeah, you might become a little more confident, but it doesn't make a woman any prettier. Having been drunk and had a couple hookups in experiences when I was drunk, yes, it does. When your eyesight's fucking blurry, if you're telling me that gives you confidence but doesn't take away your ability to see, then why is drunk driving a thing? You know, let people drive if they're drunk. If it doesn't change your perception of reality, because I'm here to say it does change your perception of reality. Yeah. Here, by the way, let me quick before you start. It is important to note this study is small, involving a group of 36 men. Oh, well, there you go. 36 men. There, Jeff, try putting a vaccination on the market when you've tested it on 36 people. Try putting a new safety measure in a car when it's only been tested 36 times. You know, this is not a study. This is a bullshit article I clicked just so I could get angry.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, though, a little counterpoint there. I don't know what university is going to fund you to test more than 36 men's on the does booze make you want to fuck a uggo test study. You know what I mean? Like I think a lot of their funds are probably going to like cancer research and stuff like that. It's hard enough pulling money from cancer research just to get to 36. I'm surprised they got that much. He must have written a hell of a hypothesis paper, whatever those people give the grants on.
Well, and here's the other part too, and this is bullshit. This is bullshit. They fed them drinks and then said they were asked to rate the attractiveness of people they saw in photos and videos after being given alcohol beverages. No, no. At bar time, you're not trying to fuck a photo. At bar time, you're looking at what's around you and you are making a decision. The fact that it's photos and videos is bullshit. That's a flat screen. The eyeballs work in 3D. You need the physical closeness. You need to see them across the room. You need to smell them if you approach. There's a lot going on there. You can't say, here's a beer. Is this person pretty? There's tingling feelings going on. You got, if you're in the bar, yeah, you're gonna. Oh, this has nothing to do with anything. My daughter, you just said uggo. My daughter earlier, I can't remember what she was talking about. She said something like, well, I think that person's fugly. And I said, sweetie, do you know what fugly means? And she goes, well, like extra ugly. I'm like, yeah, but do you know what it means? Do you know what fugly stands for? And she said, no. And I said, stands for F word ugly. She goes, oh, no, I can't say that. Oh, she gets so upset. She didn't know it meant fucking ugly. Anyway,
ugly's a fun word, too. Videos don't fugly count. Sounds like a lovable, like, oversized Disney character. You know what I mean? Like a fuzzy giant that goes and keeps the little kids safe in the cartoon. That sort of thing. They play jokes with them.
Research is generally mixed on whether beer goggles is a thing. Research, though, there is. According to Terry Wilder, a therapist with ThriveWorks in Lafayette, Indiana, who educates first-year college students on drinking, regardless of whether or not one believes in beer goggles as a concept, the one thing that is proven is the fact that alcohol reduces inhibitions, causes one to feel more relaxed and has the potential, and also distorts your perception of reality. Jesus, goddamn Christ, how hard is that to understand?
Yeah, I mean, I think this study's clearly written by like either somebody super awkward, like way Asperger's-y,
yeah,
or like just a straight up Mormon or somebody that doesn't drink.
So that's because what I was going to say. It's written by someone that doesn't drink.
Yes, it's one of those things to where it's like, yeah, you just kind of, you could just ask one guy that drinks. You could have just asked me and I would have been like, yeah, you know, yeah, for well, free.
Like
save the grant money. Give the grant money back to the cancer people. Go cure some shit. It made me fuck ugly women. Yes, it did. Yes, it did, doctor. And I'll put my hand on a Bible or whatever kind of shit. Yes, it did.
Well, going off what you're saying, who wrote this? Yes. Quote, alcohol can temporarily provide a sense of increased confidence, impacting the social anxiety that we can experience, while providing a warm, fuzzy feeling that brings a sense of comfort doing things that one would not typically do. The fuck kind of sentence is that? It, you know, alcohol makes you happy, gives you, it makes you like less nervous. Like that's a fucked up the phrasing, the way they describe it. It's very clinical. It's not real. It's not a real world experience.
Well, and the test is even stupid and clinical. It doesn't make sense for a drunk person and what you're trying to figure out. A, you probably didn't give him enough alcohol. I didn't. Did it say how much?
Point
how
drunk 08. They got some? They would
point,
not okay, go
point,
above
dude, point that's 08. Not enough for. No, you never fucked an ugly woman because you were at 0.08. All right, I can still drive a car at 0.08. Fine. That is a fascist law. It should still be 0.1. It should still be. In fact, it should be higher than 0.1 for people like me who drink a lot. All right, that, for one thing, that's not that fucking drunk, especially for people who drink and have a tolerance and drink enough that they do fuck ugly people, okay,
and they fall asleep on the subway and get taken to a hospital.
Yes, that's okay. You need to be halfway in between 0.08 and falling asleep on the subway and going to the hospital. All right, I don't know what I was blowing, but it was high. Okay, so it needs okay, you need to get these people at 0.2. All right, you get them at a 0.2. And just doing the, well, you're rating the photos. It's yeah, but that doesn't, because we're now your scale just moves a bit. It's the same bell curve, right? A one is still a one. A two is still a two. A three is still a three because you're comparing them to other women. You need to play the game. Would you or won't you? Okay. That's the way it goes. You either go, yup, or nope, or yup, or nope. And it's just, you know, you do it quick, like a Warshak test. They have to go quick. It can't be the same woman from before, because they'll kind of remember all that said three from before. You tried to trick me, you fucking mad scientist. You know, like it has to be women that are kind of on the same level, or like different women, but who kind of look the same. But even that's subjective. You know what I mean?
It's all subjective. What was Zuckerkorn's first invention that became Facebook? What was his first website?
It was like a dating website, wasn't it?
Hot or Not. It wasn't a dating website.
Hot or
it
was Not. That's right.
Hot
That's
or
right.
Not. They basically put beer in people and made them play Hot or Not. It's not real world experience. They basically put liquor and not enough liquor. They basically had a few drinks and then played Hot or Not. That's what this study is. Wow, what a waste of money.
That's right. Dude, 0.08? 0.08 is not like... I would not do anything after at 0.08 that I would not do dead sober. That's nothing. That's fucking buzz, dude.
That's good to know, because, quote, reflecting on one's goals for social interactions and how alcohol may affect these interactions, including ways that can end up being harmful, can be useful prior to entering a social drinking experience. The fuck? This person is talking to college kids, and that's what she's saying? All right, it's your freshman year. You're going to want to go to some raves. Before you go out drinking, remember, reflecting on one's goals for social interactions and how... Who the fuck is listening to that when they're 18 years old and ready to go out drinking?
And oh, my God. And they think that 0.08 is... This is what I can use to measure how people think. It's like, no, the person who's getting drunk and causing problems and doing things they normally wouldn't do when they're sober doesn't sit there in a bar with a breathalyzer going, well, I'm exactly at 0.08 now. Time to go crash a car and then punch my wife and kids. Jesus, I love 0.08. It gets me carried away. And then he busts the door down and his wife is like, oh no, honey, you're not at 0.08 again, are you? She's locked herself in the bathroom like, hey, yeah, is this the police? Yeah, my husband's at 0.08. He drank exactly 3.2 beers. And
over the course of 2 hours.
Yes, within 2 hours, and he's out of control. Like, no, you have to do much higher than 0.08. Problem is... It would, I think a lot of these, the people that make the stubby are either just fucking dumb and don't know how alcohol works, or they're like, hey, we want to get people trashed and see what they'll do. And the study was like, okay, if we do point two, we can get fucking sued because that's like, you know, three times over the limit or whatever.
I found it in here. It says they chose it because that's the legal limit for driving in most places.
Well, yeah, no, I know that's why they picked it. I know that's why they picked it. It's 0.08 is the, that's why I was yelling about how it should still be 0.1. That's what it was when I started driving. And A, that's such a fucking minor difference. And B, if you drink a lot, the 0.01's not even that much.
As an old Stanhope joke, you should take your driving test at the level of drunk you can still drive at. So if you get pulled over and blow a 0.1, but it says 0.1 and on your driver's license, then they let you go.
Yes. You need to, okay, so to figure out how drunk these people need to be before we play the will you or won't you game, we have to take them to a go-kart lane, like a go-kart, and it just, you know, when they really, wow, you hit like a lot of those cones, like a lot. It's time to go to the bar, you know, and just look at some women.
Time to go to the bar and see what you hit on. That's right. The real world. Hands-on experience.
Right. You can't do this kind of test in a fucking laboratory. It needs to be done in the field, and it needs to be done with lots of booze.
I offer, what's that, Hunger Games? I never saw the movie. I offer Jake as tribute.
Yes, I will volunteer to do this test. I will do it. I will do it. For, not because I'm an alcoholic. It's for science, damn it.
It's for science.
In fact, you don't even need to pay me. Save that money you were going to take, except for what we need for the booze. I'm not paying for my fucking drinks.
You'll do it for the booze, not the money. Yeah,
you can pay me. Just like many of my comedy shows, I can be paid in drink tickets for this study, sir. Just give me lots of drink tickets, and then let's just jump on fucking Pornhub, and we'll play a nice, fun, toasty game of will I or won't I?
The best part is, will it still work?
Will Pornhub still work?
No. The little man below, depending on how drunk you are.
Oh, not necessarily, but it's the idea of like, would I try or wouldn't I try? Yeah.
You know, that's what I overall, the overall judgment that all men do.
Yes.
Yes.
Would I try to squeeze the bottom half of my semi soft,
push all the blood in there?
Yes. Uh-huh. Would I like a tube sack? With like a tube sock half filled with Jello, would I try with that or wouldn't I try?
Like, I think there was a comic that used to describe it as trying to put that crinkled dollar bill into the vending machine. Just keep trying. Yeah.
Yes. All right.
We're out of time. Find Jake at Jake Vevra on all the social media sites. He's on Twitter still, posting every Thursday to Love Gurus. And
Love Gurus.
You can find me at NathanTimmel.com. And then on my website, I have links to all the socials. I post a video a day on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and for some reason, Facebook, even though Facebook sucks. So if you want to see a stupid video a day, follow me. If you want to follow both of us. And hey, we didn't pick on any comments today because nobody said any mean things about us. And nobody said any nice things. So leave a mean comment, leave a nice comment, and we'll talk. We'll respond. We will respond.
Absolutely.
All right. Bye.
0.08 isn't drunk, you Mormon scum.